Once upon a time. Now, I begin once upon a time to let you know that this is a fictional tale. It's not gospel truth. It's like a fairy story. Once upon a time. Although the story is related to the gospel, of course. Once upon a time, there was a king who fell in love with a beautiful peasant girl. And despite her humble station in life, this girl was beautiful and charming, and the king wanted nothing more than to be with this peasant girl forever. And yet there was an obvious snag. If he went to this peasant girl in all his royal panoply, his ermine cloak, his sparkling crown, one of two things would happen. When he proposed to the girl, she'd be either so alarmed at the thought that she'd have to behave as a queen that she'd turn him down, or else she'd say yes because she thought it was her duty to obey the monarch. And that wasn't the sort of relationship the king wanted at all. He wanted a free consent to his proposal and her willing choice to return his love with a willing heart. Nobody should be terrified into love. But then he thought, if on the other hand, I dress up as a peasant and go to call on this girl and pretend to be a peasant, she might well fall in love with him and agree to marry him, but then when she discovered the trick he'd played on her, she'd say she agreed to marry him under false pretenses, and she could never love a liar. So the poor king, two terrible choices. What was he to do? Well, there was only one solution. If living in love together for the rest of their lives was more important to him than anything else, that he actually had to become a peasant himself to marry her. It was the only way, and he took it. He abdicated as king, he resigned his throne to his younger brother, he married the humble maiden, and they loved each other until they died. Ah. Let me hear you. Ah. That's not an original story, by the way. It was first told over 150 years ago by the great Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard. And although it's only fiction, he used it to explain the truth of the Gospels. The story helps us to understand the meaning of Christmas, because if what the Gospels say is true, then what happened in the stable in Bethlehem is almost too big to grasp by our limited human minds. And certainly we could never understand it without the help of a story like that of the king and the peasant girl, which is, I suppose, a kind of modern-day parable. The first idea you have to get your head around is the concept that God loves you. That's ridiculous, you say. God loves little me? Don't be absurd. How could the great creator of the universe be interested in an insignificant worm on an obscure little planet? But of course, that's exactly what God knew we would say. And yet, the fantastic truth is that it's true. God is love, through and through. And he loves the human race. He loves you and he loves me. He created us to return his love and to live with him in eternity forever and ever. But how can God make us realize that? How can God tell us that he loves us? Well, God's dilemma was exactly like that of the mighty king who fell in love with a humble peasant girl. If God suddenly appeared on a cloud in the sky in all his glory, then we'd shrivel up with fear and shame and we'd be too terrified to return God's love. And if God commanded us to love him, well, what we'd give him wouldn't be love, but it would be a kind of grudging obedience. And yet if God came down to earth and pretend to be human like some of the great gods in the ancient legends, we should be unconvinced. It's all right for him, we'd say. He doesn't know what it's really like to be in pain. He doesn't know what it's really like to wonder where your next meal's coming from. I can't love a God who dresses up as a human being. You see, in the story, If the king wanted the peasant girl to love him, the only way was to become a peasant. And if God wants human beings to love him, then the only way for God to win our love was to become a human being. And that's what Christmas is all about. John's Gospel proclaims that the Word was God and the Word became flesh. If you really think about the enormity of what happened in that stable in Bethlehem, in the months preceding, in the years afterwards, it would make the hairs in the back of your neck tingle. The incredible wonder of how much God loves you and loves me. And if it doesn't, then you must have a heart of stone this Christmas morning. To have a happy Christmas is to know the wonder of the love of God in your own life. Let's pray.